بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، some time ago we began the discussion on the demise of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the final days of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Sahaba Ikram, they got a hint, إشارة from the time of Hajj al-Wada. So from that time already, they got a hint that now the demise of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam is close. So among the objectives of discussing the demise of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, one is to know the seerah, to know about Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, his life, his Hajj, the last 2.5 months, about 80 days from the time of Hajjat al-Wada till his demise, what transpired that time. And more than that, to hear about the death and the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to think of our own death and demise also. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to leave this world, then we also have to go. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُ مَيِّتُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that إِنَّكَ verily you, O Nabi Fallah, mayyit. You will have to leave this world. You will have to pass away. And the people also will have to pass away. So one is just to listen about the seerat and the events that took place before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to prepare my mind also that, Ya Allah, how will my demise come? What will be my condition? Am I prepared for that? And it can happen anytime. How do you say, freak accident? It's a normal traffic person was driving, somebody knocked into him. It was fatal. Even on the highway also. And how it just happened so quickly. And as we hear, we learn from our Honorable Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib, that we go to the Qabristan, we should be going on Yawmul Jumu'ah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And we go to the Qabristan, one is to make Isalu Sawab, Ihda'u Sawab. That you can do from anywhere. Isalu Sawab is the most easiest action. There is no need to have a big jalsa, to have a Quran khatam, to have a Bismillah khatam, to get everybody together, to get people out of the house. Isalu Sawab can happen from anywhere. Any place, any time. It's a very easy action, very easy amal to do. So why go to the Qabristan? The primary objective of going to the Qabristan is to remember your own maut, your own death, your own Qabr. This will be my final abode, my final place before the day of Qiyamah. And this is to just think also that when my eyes will open in the Qabr, what will I see at that time? As we're sitting right now over here, possibly comfortable, place is clean, smelling good, there's air, I can breathe, I feel a bit airy. So just to think, Ya Allah, when I wake up in the Qabr, just for our understanding now, Ya Allah must be sitting in a room like this. Just put the aircon on, and the sleeper couch is there, I can take out a blanket and a pillow, and I can just relax. So this is how we dream, it should be, inshallah. When I wake up, it's like this now. All lighted and everything is just comfortable. And then the big screen will be on. Hadith Sharif says that the windows of Jannah will be open for him. The cool breeze will come through. Silken bedding of Jannah, when he can relax. And we'll be seeing now on the big screen how Jannah is. What's happening in Jannah right now? Allah Ta'ala has kept that place for him. All entertainment, all enjoying, no fear, no grief, no depression, no anxiety, no stress, nothing. Just be relaxing and looking. Today we know the reality of dunya, the deception of dunya. Deception of dunya, we're planning to go on a holiday. And now we're surfing the internet, this resort, that resort, whether we're going to a certain island we're going to. Now that resort, they got rooms underwater, and you can see all the fish underwater. And the way you sing it now, more than often, is more enjoying seeing it there than when you're experiencing it. Because when you're sitting there, then you really think, now, is it now? But sometimes you see billboards, and you see the bus sitting on the pool chair, got his big Mexicano hat on, orange juice next to him, and you got the ocean in front, and you say, only I can be there. And when you are there, you don't even feel like that, like how he's feeling. Right? Because sometimes you got upset tummy, oh, the fight is on right now. Right? You didn't get your room in time, check-in, whatever it was. And when you saw it there, you say, hey, that's the place to be. And then sometimes you are there, but you don't feel like that. Why the deception? You thought now it will be so sweet, and so much of sukoon, But if Allah Pak hasn't kept it, they are looking for things where Allah Pak hasn't kept it. So this whole discussing and understanding and reading the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for us to understand, for us to prepare ourselves for how will be my maut, how will be my last few days, and when I wake up in the qabr, will it be like this? For the masturat and the ladies at home, alhamdulillah. How, mashallah, the husbands have made their room, they want building cupboards, walk-in bed, walk-in closet, aircon is there, the wood burner is on, crisp sheets, everything is, mashallah, nice and clean, everything is shining, nice smelling, and how you even just plop in the bed. So just to think sometimes, ya Allah, I hope my qabr is like this also. Yeah, just plop in the bed and relax. Nothing to worry about. Everything is sorted out. Everything is done. So that will happen when we prepare for that qabr. Otherwise, you must be wake up and we can't see anything happening around. And what we say in common language, we don't know from where I'm getting a clobber from there and clobber from there. From there getting one shot from this. What's happening here? What is happening from? I can't even see who's hitting me. And you hear voices coming. And scary voices also. Have you read your salah? Have you read your Quran? Mar Rabbuk? Ma Deenuk? Who is your Rabb? And Munkar and Nakir will come. They will come now into the qabr, breaking through the ground and the earth. Different riwayat, different ahadith mentioned also that how they will come with long hair right to the ground, fire coming up from the mouth. Fire coming up from the mouth, clubs in the hand. Just to frighten the person so he forgets the answers. That's why they say that person who fears everyone besides Allah, the person who does not fear Allah, person doesn't have taqwa in his heart, Allah will instill in his heart the fear of everything besides Allah. Fears Allah, he got no fear of anything else. Maut, qabar, akhirat. Now he got the fear of Allah. Taqwa. Fear of Allah doesn't mean terror. It means I fear displeasing Allah because Allah is the greatest muhsin of mine. The greatest ihsan and kindness upon me is from Allah. Like how a person fears displeasing his wife. What a fear that is. He knows after that now. Then silent treatment. Or she fears husband, tika mangaj he got. But now I fear upsetting her because I got muhabbat for her. So to have that level, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا شَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ Sahaba رَضِيَ الْعَنُوا, but those people that had iman, and their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was absolutely intense. They couldn't bear displeasing Allah. And their love was so much, as Hakim Sahib rahimullah would say, their love for Allah was so much. It was genuine love in the heart of so much to Allah that they wanted to show Allah how much they love Allah. Like how a man was to show his wife. She wants to do this, Bismillah. She wants to do it. Go there, let's do it. Buy that, no problem, it's yours. He's doing all this in the hope now that she'll be happy forever. But Hazrat says, don't bluff yourself. You can take about a 10-star holiday, 1 week later after you return, like you took her nowhere. And you know now how much I spend just to keep her happy. It's forgotten. Dunya is like that. Only happiness is in deen. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had this in their heart. Ya Allah, how do we show muhabbat and love to you? We can't write with pens. Poetry won't be enough. So, as Hakim Sahib said, rahimahullah, that they wrote the love of Allah with their blood. Allah will shed our blood. We'll shed our blood in Uhud, in Badr, in Khandaq. So, the historians will write till Qiyamat and the Ummah will read how we shed blood in your love and your Muhammad. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. So going to the Qabristan also, they should remember my own Qabr. When I wake up there, ya Allah, the whole thing must be lighted up. My bedroom I've got at home and better than that. Everything just set up and done. I just wake up and I'm sitting on my bed already. Ya Allah, how that happened? By those that are traveling also, and you're entering the aeroplane, and Bichara, you got to go economy class and other people business class. And how we jumped up over there, sitting in economy. I think now, fully I can have business class, relax, put the seat down. You got a personal waiter or butler, whatever you know, call it now, and everything is done. So there we feel so squashed up, economy class. We can imagine the qabr now. The 8 hours, 8 hours and now finished we are. Your neck is paining, back is paining. Legs are getting swollen up. Now you're waiting in a line to go to the toilet. We can imagine the qabr there is smaller than business class also. Allah protect us. They want to get now business class. It's smaller than economy class. But to get that now, you've got to get your miles also. You're going to make your miles so you can upgrade. How are you going to make your miles? give you 40 days. Zakir, I'll give you 4 months also. You're going to make your miles after that. Then, mashallah, you got your platinum for life. You got your purple card after that, mashallah. Inshallah, ta'ala, I made. Alhamdulillah. Give my time and upgrade him now, mashallah. Open the qabr for him. Let it expand for him. Now the questioning was that I can just fire up the answers. You just fire up the answer. Like how when you go there also, you just show your body priority. What a smile you got. Yes, Mr. Swasa, come. And when you get off the plane too, they got their greet and meet. They got, what a lani you feel to. You got your name written over there, Mr. So and So. Welcome, welcome. Imagine Qiyamah's day. When are you welcome? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbik. Welcome to you, welcome to you. What a day that will be. Allah Ta'ala make it such that in this world also, fadkhuli fi ibadi, that we live with the friends of Allah, and Qiyamah's day also will enter Jannah in the company of the pious, inshallah. So we come to this chapter in regard to the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final khutbah, the final bayan khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pouring water. From the time the final illness commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to come to the masjid. Even in his illness, still continued to come to the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. From there we can understand there is no excuse. A believer, they say, من ترك الصلاة متعمدا فقد كفر. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the person who abandons and leaves out salah intentionally, he didn't even plan to go fajr namaz. No intention. Intentionally he left it out. Salah for the men with jama'at in the masjid. Salah with jama'at in the masjid for men, Allama Shamisi, is wajib. It's wajib for the men to perform salah in the masjid. Workplace here is last resort. We go to read it over there. But the masjid, the house of Allah, that is where we go to perform our, that's a special place where now Allah Ta'ala has designated for our salah. So there's no excuse. The Hadith Sharif says the person who misses salah intentionally, faqad kafara. Literal meaning of the Hadith, he's turned kafir. He's a kafir already. Because the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, the stark difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is performance of salah. Kafir doesn't read salah. Muslim performs salah. It's a big difference. Allah Ta'ala calls, he puts his head down. Kafir doesn't put his head down. So for a mu'min, for a Muslim, there's no excuse in regards to salah. That I don't have time, I can't make it. Our whole day revolves around our salah. So even here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us practically, from the time the final illness commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to come to the masjid and perform most of the salah. However, on Thursday, the illness intensified even further. During the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his household to pour over him the water of 7 water skins which had remained sealed. So there were different water skins of water which were sealed. So he ordered them to take the 7 and pour it over him. One was a headache. Brothers, I need the sofa to sit on top. But they need to use the chairs, they can use the chairs also. So here in the footnote they say the possible reason for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam specifying the number 7 is that this number has a special effect and blessings. Furthermore, the reason for the water skin remaining sealed is that the water would be clean as well as cool. It should be borne in mind that treating fever by pouring water over the body is only beneficial for certain specific types of fever and not all fevers. You have cold fever, you have a hot fever also. Person has got a fever but he's feeling cold. So then you got to ask the Hakim, ask the doctor. So pouring water, so from 7 skins. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in a tub and they poured the water over his blessed body until he told them to stop. If you look at the naqsha and the drawing of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, every one of those houses of Azwaj Mutahharat, they had a room and they had like an entrance corridor. And they had like a sehen area, a courtyard. So each one of those houses had a room and they had a courtyard and an entrance area. So most probably in that courtyard, it is where now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they poured water over him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then went out after they poured water over him. We can imagine now the level and the intensity of the fever that he was going through. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then went out holding the hand of Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas. Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas, the brother of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, is holding his hand. Whilst his blessed head was bound with a bandage on account of the severe headache he was suffering from. What do you call migraine? What a migraine he must have had at that time. The fever also. Then too he came to the masjid. So those have been to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah ta'ala take us all over again. Then you have the mihrab, where the imam performs salah, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to perform salah. So directly to the left hand side, there was a door there. Where the roda is right now, understand, where the roda is right, not the roda, the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was outside the masjid. So there was a wall over there. There was a doorway. So when you exited that doorway, then you entered to the courtyard. So as you came into the courtyard, then there was another wall there that separated the courtyard from the Mubarak room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then in there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to reside. So coming out from there, and the door opened directly in line with the Mubarak Musalla of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So walking straight to the Musalla, holding the hand of Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam instructed Hazrat Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anhu to call out to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, summoning them to the masjid. After the Sahaba, this is what we call Majlis took place now. That now call them is have a Majlis. After the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum arrived, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam delivered his final khutbah to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This is which day? Thursday. And demise took place on a Monday. This is Thursday now. The next heading, next section, fear of dunya. Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports regarding the final khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made special dua for the martyrs of Uhud after approximately 8 years since their martyrdom. Battle of Uhud was in the third year of Hijrah. Now we are in the, which year this was? 11th year now. Rabi'ul Awwal. So made dua still for the martyrs of Uhud. Like one bidding farewell to both the living and the dead. Bidding farewell to the living is clear since he was about to leave this world. However, Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu also mentioned that it was as though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was bidding farewell to the dead. The reason is that after his demise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would no longer be visiting the graves of the dead. This was a habit, he would go often to Jannatul Baqi, make dua for the marhumin, for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Then he would go to Sayyid al-Shuhada Hamza to Uhud, so make dua for them also. So here we also learn a lesson that when it comes to the marhumin, they are absolutely muhtaj of our du'as. They can't do anything. And as we learn from our Honorable Shaykh, Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib, the Barakatuhu, he said when it comes to our parents that are alive to a certain extent, they need our khidmat, they take khidmat from us, they need our time, they have to do work for them, etc. So to a certain extent, they are muhtaj on us. But after the demise, then they are 100% muhtaj upon our du'as. They can't do anything whatsoever now. Now they're just sitting and they're waiting. Are they going to send for us at least 3 quls every day? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And Hazrat says also, don't forget to make dua for our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, and our family that came into the fold of Islam right from the beginning. It shouldn't be that after my demise, the 3 generations down, possibly my grandchildren or great-grandchildren, they'll pass my qabr, they won't even know who's buried over here. They won't even read one fatiha for me. But inshallah, if you do it, and make it a habit every day. And how beautifully Hazrat says also, that all we got to do every day, Allah give me tawfiq, Allah first tawfiq. Then make dua for your parents, Allah will open your dunya for you. Don't do it for that sake now. But Allah will bless you with dunya. And dunya, why to spend upon them, to look after them, after their demise, to make isala sawab for them. So to make dua for their parents, Allah Ta'ala will open your dunya for you. Make dua for your asatiza, for your mashayikh, Allah will open deen for you. Just make these 2 du'as every day. Short du'as also. For maghfirat, barakat, afiyat, sihat, salamat. Allah will open your taqdeer for you. Day after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the mimbar and mentioned the following. This is the final khutbah. Indeed I am one. First he made du'a for the shuhada of Uhud. So he says, indeed I am the one. I am one who will precede you and I will bear testimony for you. And our promised place of meeting is the house, the pond of Kothar, will meet over there. We meet at the house of Kothar, and indeed I am looking at it from this place of mine. It's become a reality now. I do not fear that you will all fall into shirk after me. Wasn't a fear. You will stick upon Iman and Islam. You will not leave it. I don't have this fear. However, I fear the dunya for you, that you will compete with one another for it and fight with one another. Then you will be destroyed just as the people before you were destroyed. This is my fear. I mean, you see the ummah right now. I'm here so often. Supplier will tell the rep, oh, whoever is now selling into, oh, you find commonly among the business world, that don't go into my territory, don't crisscross, don't supply that one, don't supply this one. So, this is the whole competition of dunya. Rozi is already written. But we're so conscious now, the business man is going to take my business away. Madina Munawwara, subhanAllah, till today you find that one line, all the shops same. And they're all sitting there happy. And the mu'min lives on barakat. He lives on barakat. He doesn't live on figures. He can have figures, but he just flies in the air. But he lives on barakat. So this is the fear of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you won't fall into shirk. But remember, ulama explained also that dunya also, to a certain extent, becomes a person's god. So there's some type of shirk over there. I worship my dunya. I worship my business. I worship my degree. I might not say it, but the amount of yaqeen and conviction, to the extent, when we go in the path of Allah and explain iman and yaqeen, so the high level they say, that to earn a livelihood with incorrect aqeedah, yaqeen and belief and tawakkul, to earn a livelihood with incorrect yaqeen. My yaqeen is my shop will sustain me. So his yaqeen and his conviction is incorrect. Even the housewife, she will be, my husband goes tomorrow, what will happen to me? They say, Fa'in Allah. Where's Allah then? What will happen? My father has to die. What will happen to me? If he cancels the insurances, what's going to happen to me? So they say that the person who earns a livelihood with the incorrect conviction, you see, this also in the spiritual world is regarded as a minor shirk in the spiritual world. I say more than that, they say that wealth that you earned with the incorrect yaqeen spiritually is haram for you. Spiritually is haram for you. If you earned it with correct yaqeen that Allah is a provider, then you see the barakat in it. Now imagine a person with the incorrect conviction, earning a livelihood and missing namaz on top of that. Inna lillahi. Destroying his dunya first of all, and destroying his family, and destroying his akhirat in his qabr also. So he might be comfortable in dunya, but we can imagine what's awaiting for him now in the qabr. That's why I always repeat this, Allah Ta'ala, give me the reality. Allah Pak has made us so comfortable in this worldly life, we just got this wishful thinking that my qabr is done already. I'm sorted. When I go there, things are already laid out. So we just got this very, very high level of wishful thinking. That Allah Pak loves me, so He gave me dunya. That was the criteria of Allah's muhabbat in Fir'aun should be the most beloved of Allah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had nothing. So we feel now, Allah loves me, therefore He gave me dunya. So because Allah Pak gave me dunya, so Allah Ta'ala gave me a qabr also. So I'm done already. No such thing. We didn't find Nabi alayhi salatu living behind some mall, some shopping center, or shopping center of Isa alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam. Nothing. So how much effort we going to make to fill that box? This is Sunduq al-Amal, the box of A'mal. How much we are going to send ahead to that vault in the ground? That's what we'll see when we wake up there after our demise. The Uqba radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said, this was the last time that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on the day of Thursday. Generally, the fear that we have for ourselves and especially our families after us is that of poverty. What will happen to them? And this now has become a major anxiety in many homes right now. Many homes. You find the mothers also, we discussed this on Thursday also, that the anxiety they have. Homework upon homework, as if now this child is going to live forever. The amount of bags he's carrying, like it depicts what the Quran says, the donkey carrying books on his back. So the way the kids walk with the books on their back also, the only thing we had nowadays was lunch in our bags, I think it was. Alhamdulillah, we're still eating, Allah shukr. We're still eating. Allah's fazal. The homework now, most of the brothers, mashallah, is to copy the thing, copy wrong also. And then to say, no, I did the homework. As we always mention to our brothers, how many of the brothers, mashallah, that are comfortable in the dunya right now can say, my father left behind for me 10 million in the bank? Hardly. Maybe illa mashallah, but most of them said, alhamdulillah, we came up hard. Now you got this anxiety about the children, what's going to happen to them? Bhai, what happened to you? Allah Ta'ala opened the way. You're living comfortably, alhamdulillah. So each child comes with his rosy sustenance. And now he's spoiling them so much, we're giving them so much, that they don't even know what it is to stand in a shop anymore. Before we knew, standing in a shop, standing outside, they're not getting paid sometime, had to go work. Now they don't know anything now. How to even do simple things like that? They don't know even streetwise. Everything, they're so protected. So, and now we've got this fear. Allah Ta'ala will take care of them, inshallah. Sayyidi Muhsin Rahimahullah used to say to his son, oh my son, I lengthen my salah with the hope that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will take care of you. I lengthen my salah as a father, Allah will take pity upon me and take care of my dunya and akhirat. What's in the father's heart? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sees that the secret. They say the child is the secret of the father's heart. What's pumping in the father's heart? Allah will take it out on the children. Allah will take it out on the children. And Hazrat, the way he dissects this also, he says, Maulana is giving the bayan. And he's speaking about now kuffar style, and this style, and that trend. But he says, Manisha, your t-shirt inside is Reebok and Nike. So he shows just what you love more. What is your kurta on the outside? What are you wearing inside? The same thing you see his son is wearing. The muhabbat is there, but he's banging it out in the bayan. All the fashion, but he loves it inside. So the same thing you'll find reflected on his children. Otherwise, if he abhors it, he can't see them wearing it also. I can't even see my children wearing this thing anymore. Don't want to see it. This affects me and upsets me. Then you know it's got genuine love for the sunnah. So here is mentioned, however, the great fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam expressed in his final khutbah was that of the Muslims hankering after the dunya, They're chasing after the dunya and competing with one another in acquiring wealth and material. And we know now all has to do with status. All has to do with status. And especially the masturat, how they're stuck in this. Men also. But all these apps and social media, like one brother was just giving me an example. He says now, at night time, the masturat, the ladies are scrolling. It carries on. He says, see, Muhsin Muhsinah, they go on holiday. Right, Imran Imrana, they got over there. This one is gone. Why we can't go? Why are we sitting? He said, Bichar, he said, I don't have two run in my pocket properly now. And now they gone there, that one is gone there. Why we can't go? I got pressure now. So now I got pressure. He says, just that phone is giving me enough pressure already. Now the phone, you can see what is doing to the couples right now. It's all just status. To put this, everybody can see. But how happy they are within their hearts. How much they're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before you know it, what happened to the couple now? 5-star holidays everywhere together, etc. Allah Ta'ala protect us. But is that a reality? Unfortunately, this fear of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become a glaring reality amongst us today. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the following khutbah, and he said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a servant. Indeed Allah Ta'ala has given a servant the choice between the dunya and that which is by him, by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So the servant chose that which is by him. Hearing this, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu began to weep. He caught on already. He was so close to Nabi alayhi salatu. He understood even this gesture, this ishara indication that the servant is talking about is himself, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's made his choice already. We wondered what causes old man to weep, sahaba ikram. So we wondered what causes old man to weep. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a servant the choice between the dunya and that which is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he chose that which is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the reason to weep? However, we did not realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was the servant. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the most knowledgeable of us. Hence he realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to his imminent demise. That is the barakah of suhbat. So close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that he already understood that language also. That's why in Darulum, in Madaris, in the Khankas also, especially in Darulums, they say you must know your ustaz so well. You don't know your ustaz so well. Just by his face, you know he's thirsty. Oh, he's tired. And there were such, we had such students in Darul Uloom also, that just by the Ustaz's temperament, they knew what question he's going to ask in the exam too. They knew the Ustaz so well, that his mind is intricate. He's going to ask the most intricate question, and he came out like that. That Ustaz is easy going, he'll ask you these questions. So just check up these sections over here. This is how you must know your Ustaz and your Sheikh so well. He says then, this is called Nisbat, that you have that connection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, O Abu Bakr, do not weep. Indeed, the person who showed me the most kindness in his companionship and wealth is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If I had to take any person from my ummah as a close friend, I would take Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as my close friend. However, I do not have a close friend as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me as his close friend. Therefore, it is the love and brotherhood of Islam that I enjoy with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is the brotherhood that I have with him, he is my brother. Every small door that leads into the masjid should be sealed and closed except for the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The door is, the entrance is still there. Khukhatu Abi Bakrin, or Babu Abi Bakr. The door, we will enter the masjid, the old masjid, the Masjid al-Nabwi. That is where the entrance of Abu Bakr Siddiq's home was. This hadith is sufficient proof regarding the lofty and esteemed position of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the fact that it was he who understood Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the best, and was thus the most worthy of being the Khalifa after him. I'll just do one more section, inshallah. Because regarding the Ansar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed the Muhajirin and said the same, the final khutbah on the Thursday. So he addressed the Muhajirin and said, O group of Muhajirin, those that came from Makkatul Mukarramah, your number has begun to increase, while the number of the Ansar has ceased to increase. They will become few until they will be like the salt in the food, very little in quantity. Indeed, the Ansar are my special people to whom I turn for support. Whichever one of you is given some position of authority, due to which he can cause harm to some people and benefit others, then he should honor and accept the good of those who do good from them, and pardon those of them who fall into error from them. So all is the final wasiyat that is given to the Ansar and the Muhajirin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, O people, the time has come for me to fulfill the rights that I owe to you. If I lashed at any person's back without any justification, then here is my back. Here is my back. Let him take revenge from me. If I hurt anybody, if I pushed him possibly, or I lashed him with a whoop, the Nabi of Allah is presenting his own back now. Listen, if I had offended any person's honor, then here is my honor. Let him take revenge from me. If I had taken any person's wealth, then here is my wealth. Let him take from it. No person should ever refrain from taking his right. No person should ever say, I fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will begrudge me. Don't have this fear. You need to take your revenge. Should he take it from me? No wealth that harboring grudges is neither in my nature, nor does it befit my status as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen, the most beloved of you to me is the one who, if he has a right over me, either takes it from me, he's the most beloved. He takes the right from me, or forgives me, so that I can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happily. Allah ta'ala give us his hearts. Nowadays, you know, in the family, when it comes to the family business, why give the daughters? Why give him? Why give that one? And then all the grudges start, and the ill treatment, and the ill feelings after that, just because of the little bit of dunya. That's why ulama say, when it comes to dunya you must only take with honor and izzat. Don't take with humiliation and disgrace. You don't want it like that. You don't want to hear anybody saying he's a chore. He took our right. If you think it's yours, you take it, bismillah. It must come to me with honor. As I say, dunya and wealth is filthy, so don't take something dirty and filthy with humiliation and disgrace. Take it with honor, it must come in the correct manner. Behold, I do not think that this single announcement will suffice me until I repeat it a few times. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then descended from the minbar and performed Zuhr Salah. This was before Zuhr Salah, this khutbah was given on Thursday. After the Zuhr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again ascended the minbar and repeated the announcement for people to take the outstanding rights from him. Imagine now I'm so particular that I'm going to go to my Allah free of anybody's rights. Fulfilling the outstanding rights of others, no matter what they may be, is so important that despite the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never trampled the rights of any person, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still exhorted the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in this manner to come forward and claim their outstanding rights from him. He repeated the announcement several times as well. This was actually a lesson for his ummah to ensure that they do not owe any person outstanding rights when they leave this world. That's why alhamdulillah, many brothers we have this, mashallah. Janazah is there, family member will come forward and make i'lan. If the marhum took anybody's right, he owes anybody any amount of money, please come to the family and claim it. So, this is the correct thing to do. In the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that he was about to leave this world. As far as we are concerned, then none of us knows when our death will come. Hence, we should ensure that our affairs with people are in order at all times. It is very unfortunate that many people today consider fulfilling outstanding rights to be insignificant and unimportant. In fact, it's very common. Person owes money, and he just has to make some ishara a little bit. Bhai, when are you going to pay? What do you tell him? Bhai, I'm running away. I'm here. Yeah, you're here, but you're not paying. I'm not running away with your money. Is that the attitude? Man wants his money, and you have it, you have to give it. Or at least specify him. I will give you so much. Right now, I'm tight right now. But there's no talk of it. I'm not running away. I'll give you your money. I'll give you your money. And it's become a habit thereafter. And the Hadith Sharif says, Matalul Ghani, the dilly-dallying of a wealthy person is zulm, is oppression. It'll be darkness for you on the day of Qiyamah. We can imagine in the qabr also, he had all the money, he didn't want to pay. For nothing, he's just holding back, why just roll with it? Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. And these rights also don't forget. Usually we're thinking now beyond the house. Other people's rights and revenge, what about the wife also? We'll tell her also, if I owe you anything, any rights, how many a person now, when he was coming up in life, he took the wife's money also. Then he's telling her, we'll sort it out, don't worry. Now he's going to laugh. What is he thinking now? No, she gives my inheritance. You pull her whole life. No. It's not correct. That too also, you start paying her back her money. Sometimes meher also. You only gave half, and the other half will give now. Some people actually do this now. The mothers say, don't give all the meher now. Don't give all the jewelry now. Let the first baby come, then we release one ring. Then another second ring. Can't give all right now. In case she disappears with everything. So all this now we're holding back. What we promised her is there. Right, is there in the book now, we promise so much, but we don't want to give everything. In case the nikah don't, already on a negative note, you're going into the marriage. In case it doesn't work out. And where they got this from? From before marriage. Because the father had the same temperament. So he gave his daughter higher education, in case your husband has to die. Already he killed him. What are you going to eat? So we tell the fathers, that you worry if a husband has to die, what she's going to eat. If you die tomorrow, you worry about the husband. You're not some god yourself, that you're going to be here forever. What she's going to eat if you drop? Allah Ta'ala will feed her. You're not feeding her. Is her rosy on your dastarkhan, on your table? Is her rosy in your pocket? Now Allah Ta'ala will put it in his pocket. Allah Ta'ala will bless him also. Now you're doing Allah Ta'ala's job. Right? Unfortunately, they say now he's playing God. Now in case something else. What about her deen? What about the qabr? What about the akhirat? So we got to worry about the rights also. Rights of our brothers, our sisters. Sometimes we took a loan. Sometimes we took something from them. To the minutest thing, we got to be so careful. Allah, sometimes we borrow somebody's kitab also. And you don't return it. Or somebody's CD on qirat, whatever it may be. We borrow people's things. Right? Before in the older days, now you borrow the neighbor's lawnmower. And you make it yours. If he needs it, he must borrow it from you. Right? Among the ulama fraternity, they say a fool is that alim that lends somebody his kitab. And the bigger fool is that alim that returns the kitab. But you got it for free, you must keep it. Now, I don't keep it. You have to return it. So you have to make a note. So how many things we got like this kept around now? We just took from people. Is a haqq, is a right, and it becomes part of your inheritance. But it doesn't belong to you. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we clear up all these matters over here. Qiyamah's day, we're going to pay with the currency of A'mal. And as Hazrat mentioned to us also, that Mala Umar Sahib Alampuri Rahmatullah Ali, for over 30 years, gave bayan in Nizamuddin. One of our great akabir. He was there with the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He wrote one time this, this thing caught his heart, the speaker concern, which is a reality. He wrote to his Shaykh, he said, Hazrat, I have fear in my heart right now. If I have to wake up on the day of Qiyamah and two rakats of my salah wasn't accepted, where am I going to go now? Even two rakats wasn't accepted. So the Shaykh wrote back and told him, he said, only Umar Sahib Mubarak to you, Allah Ta'ala bless you. He said, I got this fear in my heart that, Ya Allah, what if one sajda wasn't accepted? And I got nothing there. Allah said, nothing got accepted. Now we don't even have that fear also. That we thought now we're already done. We did so many umrahs, mashallah. We give so much of charity, alhamdulillah. So we already set and sorted in akhirat. Ya wa kabira, fearful, ya Allah, we go there. Nothing got accepted. What am I going to do now? Everything is zero. So Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding that where we're spending our time and our resources, our mind, what we're preparing for our future, our future also. And our future, they say, is beyond our expiry date we're planning for also. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika.